It's good to be with all of you this morning. If you remember, at the start of this year, in January, we've launched our Book of Daniel series in line with our church theme of being shaped for service. And I remember at the end of 2024 that the Lord pressed upon my heart the Book of Daniel and to preach on the Book of Daniel. You see, Daniel was not only a prophet of God, but he was a man who served faithfully and without compromise in a place of exile. And so it's been my prayer and hope that throughout all the weeks, though this book has been complex and hard to understand at times, we as Jesus followers, away from our heavenly home, living in exile, will also know, just like Daniel and his friends, that God is ultimately in charge and he's advancing his kingdom and he continues to push forward. Despite all the earthly kingdoms that come and go, God's kingdom remains forever. And all of us here, we're called to live a God-given purpose to bring about reformation and blessing into the context in which God has called us to. And so after more than 30 messages throughout this book, we finally come to the end of Daniel. Now, thank you for your patience. I know it's been a while. So after this Sunday, we're going to jump into Missions Month for October. And in November, we're going to press on the theme of revival. But before all that, we come to the finale of the book of Daniel, looking at chapter 12. So get your Bibles ready or on your Bible app, Daniel chapter 12. And if you recall in the lead up to this chapter, it's been quite tough for God's people so far. God's people, even in the visions and Daniel, he sees evil running rampant around him. It's not filled with rainbows and flowers. But today, it will be a final reminder for God's people, as well as people living in the Bay, that this isn't the end of our story. Though we may face struggles and persecution, though we may face hardships and seasons of toughness, but the final word that God has for us is one of deliverance, of resurrection, and of everlasting joy. So today my message is titled, Is Life a Tragedy or a Comedy? Is life a tragedy or a comedy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, as we wrap up the book of Daniel, continue to speak to us and continue to help us learn from his life that though he was living in exile, he served faithfully without compromise. So Lord, help us and shape us as we go out and serve the world in which you have called us to. Help us to be faithful like Daniel. Help us to pray for endurance. Help us to remain steadfast despite persecution. And help us to be able to see the vision in which you have called us to. So Lord, we thank you for this time, and as we open your word, Lord, speak to us powerfully and help us to be sensitive to your spirit and what he has to say for us. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I still remember as a young boy, I used to love watching movies every Friday evening with my parents. Now, I remember back in the days when Blockbuster was still around, we would head there and pick out a movie. Then we went home, we gathered in the living room, my mom would make noodles, and my dad would put on the movie that we chose as a family. And so every time on cue, within the first 5 minutes of the movie, as a curious young boy, I always had this bad habit that really frustrated and annoyed my parents, tested their patience. And I would ask within the 5 minutes of watching, Dad, Mom, is this story going to have a happy ending or a sad ending? Does the good guy win or does the bad guy win? Literally every movie, every time I would ask this question. And my parents would feel very frustrated and say, Ben, just watch the movie. Don't ask us, all right? Just watch and see. But those replies from my parents didn't really satisfy. Why? Well, I needed to know. Because even as a young child, and I'm sure for many of you, there's something innate in us that wants to be reassured that the movie that we're watching, will the tension be resolved? Would the good guys win? Will the suffering make sense in the end? Who comes out victorious? Who is defeated? Those were the burning questions in my mind. Now, thinking back, I really cherish those times with my parents. This back and forth and them sighing and being frustrated and just saying, Ben, just shut it, just watch the movie. And I was reflecting on my childhood this week and those moments with my parents. I thought, hey, isn't that what we all want to know? Not just in movies, but in life. Especially when life feels uncertain, when there's a dark page in our story, when things don't go our way, or when maybe we witness all that's been happening around us in our community, in our world. And so we have these burning questions in our minds. And throughout the summer, I've actually heard a lot of college students share this with me. Is the situation or everything that I'm experiencing around me going to end in ruin? Or will it find its way to joy? Am I headed to full despair? Or will that all that I'm going through make sense in the end and have this redemptive ending? I like the way one author puts it, which I came across this week, and it's been brewing on my mind. And they ask, is life ultimately shaped like a tragedy, or is life shaped like a comedy? Let me break this down. Is life ultimately shaped like a tragedy, where it goes up, but it just curves down like a frown? Or a comedy, it starts up here, goes down, and rises again, like shaped like a smile. So it starts up here, goes down, and goes up again, shaped like a smile. Now, quickly, what I mean by comedy is not jokes or humor in the modern sense, but what I mean by comedy is in the Shakespearean sense, where comedy wasn't always funny. Comedy meant that everyone lived happily ever after. And so the language of comedy used here in the old literal sense is not funny, but ending in joy and restoration. So is life like a tragedy where it goes up, but it then goes down? Or is life like a comedy where it starts up, it goes down, but it rises again? You see, most people in this world view this life as tragic. If you study famous atheists and the worldview, and they believe life is ultimately heading for the ground. That's how many people think about their own lives. The world tells you that life is a tragedy. It's full of fun, but it ends in the pit. You are born, you live a life, you achieve a lot, you have a great job, but ultimately it ends in a funeral instead of a wedding. But for the Christian, it's different. And for those who believe in God in Daniel's days, life had a different outlook. Let me show you why. If you recall last week, we read Daniel 11. It feels like this tragedy, doesn't it? With God's people, they're called and they see deliverance, but then this tragedy, kingdoms rise and fall. People are caught in the crossfire with evil. Everything looks overwhelming. That's the close-up view. But Daniel 12, which we're going to look at later, shifts the lens and you start to see it curve upwards like a smile. Suddenly they see visions and hear the hope that though they suffer and though they face persecution, their story ultimately ends in comedy, where they're delivered, resurrected to everlasting life. And so I believe God is showing all of us as we wrap up this message series, as we reflect on all that we've studied, our lives in this world isn't shaped like a tragedy. It's not like a frown. It's shaped ultimately like a comedy, where we go down, but we rise again. So let's read Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Now at that time, Michael the archangel, who stands guard over your nation, will arise. There will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on opposite banks of the river. One of them asking the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, how long will it be until these shocking events are over? Now the man dressed in linen who was standing above the river raised both his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, it will go on for a time, times, and half a time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and a sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days, and blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. Now, in these 13 verses, I've broken it down in two parts. Verses 1 to 4, we see God's rule at the end of history. verses 5 to 13, we see how we ought to live in light of God's rule. So how we ought to live in light of that truth. So as a way of recap, if you remember last week, we looked at the wicked king named Antiochus, who caused serious trouble for God's people. He was running amok and bringing suffering around 168 BC. And in Daniel 11, 36 to 45, we are now introduced to another figure who's the Antichrist, who will come in the future and make things even harder for God's people. So it's actually in this background that chapter 12 is written. So we have these two great crises going on in the background. The historical crisis caused by King Antiochus and the future crisis that will be brought upon by the Antichrist. And so it's into this context that we read verses 1 to 4 and Daniel sees this resurrection hope amid all this chaos. Daniel sees the archangel Michael standing guard over God's people during a time of unprecedented chaos and that he will arise. Now pause right there. The word used here, arise or stand up, isn't passive. It means to rise up to action, to step forward to defend, like a warrior taking the battlefield. And so who is Michael? Just a bit of background. The Bible calls Michael a great prince, a heavenly being who guards God's people. So he shows up in multiple places in Scripture, like in Revelation 12, where he does this cosmic battling on behalf of God's kingdom. Now, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but when I read that, I couldn't help but think about something from pop culture. The Guardians of the Galaxy. You have this unlikely team of Groot or Star-Lord or Drax, and who guard the universe from destruction. They're flawed, but they're heroic. So they fight cosmic villains. They stand in the gap to protect the civilians. Now, of course, Michael is no misfit superhero. He's a divine warrior sent by God, a majestic guardian, so to say, for God's heavenly army who stands in the gap to protect God's people. So here he is, fighting on behalf of God's people. And for those who remain faithful to God, their names will be written in the book of life. And those who are written in the book of life, they will have everlasting life. But for those who reject God, they will rise to, but they will rise to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, for those who rise in faith, they will shine like stars forever and ever. Just the stars that we see in the night and how the stars display God's glory in the night sky, so will the faithful people God shine, receiving God's honor, blessing, and reward if they stay faithful. Their names will be recorded in the book of life. And not only that, they will experience a bodily resurrection. Now, their bodily resurrection, they will be raised into new life. Their bodies will be immortal, and they will not experience any death or decay, and they will receive great honor and glory from God. So even in the midst of chaos and disorder, Daniel sees there is resurrection hope for those who remain steadfast and faithful and for those who are wise, those that believe and then those that trust in God. Verses 4, Daniel is told, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Now, this is very interesting. Just when you feel like the vision that Daniel sees starts exploring more ideas, Daniel is told immediately to shut and seal the book until the time of the end. Now, in the ancient Near East, sealing a document wasn't to hide it, but it was to preserve it. So Daniel is told to preserve this message for the future. Because what he saw is for us too, living today. It's a word for every generation, for every believer walking through suffering, waiting for God's final deliverance. And so verses 5 to 10, Daniel has this call to endure. Let's read verses 5 to 10, we see this. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on opposite banks of the river. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, how long will it be until these shocking events are over? The men dressed in linen who were standing above the river raised both his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, it will go on for a time, times and half a time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I've said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. Now Daniel sees before him two figures on opposite sides of the river, and one asks the other, how long will it be until all these things are fulfilled? And the man clothed in linen like a heavenly being gives this very strange answer. He says, it will go on for a time, times and half a time. Now, I believe we're not meant to press into this in a literal timeline. Throughout the book of Daniel, we've seen things are quite symbolic. And I think what it's saying is that within God's timeline, God has set a time and God is in full control at that time. Now, Daniel says, well, I heard, but I did not understand. But the voice says, well, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed until the time of the end. I think what maybe saying is, trust me, Daniel, keep walking. You don't need the answers. Just stay faithful. You see, just when you think Daniel most likely is confused with the time and a half a time, he's hit with more confusion, with two curious numbers popping up in verses 11 to 12. 1,290 days and 1,335 days. Just like the 70 weeks in chapter 9, these numbers have puzzled Bible scholars all throughout the centuries. And I don't know what these numbers exactly mean. I'm not here to crack the code. But the emphasis, I believe, is not seeing what these days mean or what these numbers mean. But I think what the emphasis and what the author may be telling us is that even when the master delays in coming, even when the end doesn't come when expected, blessed is the one who keeps on waiting. In other words, God had his ultimate plan and he has his ultimate ways. And God has his way of figuring out the timing down to the day, the minute, and the second. And he's not late. He's not unsure. And so we serve a God who controls time, who knows the time, and who is sovereign over all time. Daniel's application, verse 13, go your way. But go your way until the end, for you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, what a way to end this book for Daniel. Daniel was probably an old man by now. He's seen kings rise and fall. He's seen beasts and visions, persecution and promise. But the final words he hears is this, go your way, go your way. In other words, keep on doing what you've been called to do. Stay faithful in the ordinary, even while you wait for what's extraordinary. You see, you will rest, you will rise, and you will receive your inheritance. Now, when we come to the close of Daniel, we look at this chapter and we think, well, what is God saying to us? After journeying through the book of Daniel and these chapters, what are we supposed to take away as God's people in today living in the Bay? Well, this week I was thinking about and reflecting on some points, and I thought the first point I want to talk about is this. Go your way, but make sure it's God's way. Go your way, but make sure it's God's way. You see, after all the visions, after all the prophecies about beasts and kingdoms and suffering and deliverance and resurrection, the very last thing God says to Daniel, and I think the very last thing God is saying to us in this book today is, go your way. Go your way until the very end. Now, at first, it might feel like a bit of anticlimax, doesn't it? If I was Daniel, I'd be thinking, are you serious, God? Like, give me more. Give me more information. I need a more dramatic ending. I need more instructions. I need something more explosive and more powerful. But instead, Daniel receives a very ordinary word from God. Go your way. Go your way. In a world where we see turmoil and upheaval in politics, when we see all the cosmic spiritual battles that are happening, in a world where terrible forces will rise up against God and his people, God doesn't say to us or to them, fight the final battle, crack the prophetic code, save the world. He simply says, go your way. Go your way. But hear me this morning, not just any way. Go your way, but make sure whatever way you go, it's God's way. It's a personal challenge to us all, isn't it, today? Let's be honest. That's the kind of calling that can feel very underwhelming for us, too. We look around and think, there's so much chaos, so much upheaval. There's so much brokenness within us and in our families, so much to fix. We live in a world where we can fix anything, right? Like, if you don't like your car, you can fix it. If you don't like your nose, you can fix it. But maybe that's the point. God isn't asking us to control our outcomes or to fix stuff. He's just asking us to be faithful where we are. And often that's the hardest calling, to just be faithful where you are. Go your way, God's way. Go your way, God's way. That means go home. Go your way, love your family well. Go home, go to your job and work with integrity. Go your way, go to school, live with conviction. Go your way, go to your quiet place and pray with endurance. Go your way, join church community, show up, even when it's convenient, and be open to what God may be saying. Go your way in a world that's dark, shine like the stars. As one pastor puts it, by the name of Sinclair Ferguson, I like the way he puts it. He goes, the biblical response to the promises of God's coming kingdom is always this. Live for the kingdom now, recognize his reign now, be obedient now, and fulfill your present responsibilities now. So church, as we come to the end of the book of Daniel, as we prepare to go our own way, let me ask you this morning, are you going God's way? Are you going God's way? Or are you just going your own way? Your comfortable way, your convenient way, your self-preserving way? Now, I can't answer that for you this morning. And you have to ask yourself and seriously reflect. As we go out from here this morning, as we go out from the book of Daniel, back into our homes and communities, our schools, our workplaces, our family life, are we going God's way or are we going our own way? The second point of reflection I want to talk about is this. The real story hasn't begun yet. The real story hasn't begun yet. It's a very strange point because we look at the end of Daniel 12 and we think, this is all there is. Well, I want to make this case. In the last battle, in the final book of C.S. Lewis, in Narnia series, the characters of Narnia have come through this struggle. Death has passed, and the Shadowlands are behind them, and they find themselves in this new country, which is more real and more beautiful, more alive than ever before. And C.S. Lewis writes, for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. For them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and title page. Now, at last, they're beginning chapter one of the great story. Dear friends, for God's people, it's the same. Everything they experience and everything we will experience is only the cover and the title page. If we remain faithful to the very end, we will begin chapter one of the greatest story that there ever has been. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, there will be pushback. Yes, the waiting will feel long. Yes, the story will take twists and it will darken as time goes. But those who remain faithful, those who keep trusting in the Master, there is something waiting on the other side. Not despair, not emptiness, but resurrection hope. And so I circle back to my pressing question this morning. Is this life that we're living, is it a tragedy? Or is it a comedy? Is our life, will it all end in ruin? Or will somehow, by God's grace, will find its way to joy? You see, Daniel 12, we're given this answer. That our lives is indeed a divine comedy. Not jokes of or laughter, but the kind of joy that only God can bring. That takes us out of this tangled mess of sorrow and loss and makes everything anew. Though, yes, it starts high and it dips because of all the pain and suffering that we lost, that we go through. But every chapter, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So today, if you feel like your life is like a tragedy close up, maybe you've been experiencing grief in this season, or pressures of work and frustration, hold on, stay faithful, because the story ain't over. The Master will return. The grave is not the end. The real story begins where God calls us home. We will share in his resurrection. We will rise with glorified bodies and will live forever in joy and holiness. And as 1 John 3, 2 puts it, we know that when Christ appears, we shall all be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the future for the Christian. That's our inheritance as God believers. That's the real story, and it's just the beginning. So as I wrap it up this morning, Daniel 12 reminds us of this powerful truth. For those who remain steadfast and faithful, even through the fire, even through the worst days, remember, it's never the last days. Suffering gives way to glory. Death gives way to resurrection. So yes, life may feel like a tragedy in the moment, but in the long view of God's redemptive plan, life is a comedy. Not because it's funny, but because in the end, God restores everything. The righteous shine like the stars, and the story ends in joy. Now, I get it. This may be hard for some of us to think through. Maybe even hard for us to believe it. This week in my own life, I had moments where I looked at Ruth and I said, man, this just feels like a tragedy. Things look like just getting worse. And things something's happened earlier in the week that we're just like, man, this is just going down and down and down. And I was talking to Riff about it, and she's like, yeah, it just feels like this is a tragic comedy. You know, it's just so, it just can't get any worse. And when it gets worse, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Maybe some of you feel like that's what you're going through now. You feel stuck in this dark chapter. The loss, the waiting, the fear, the uncertainty. But I want you to leave with this, that you're not forgotten, you're not alone. But most importantly, you're in God's hand. He's the author of time, the director of history, and he's the redeemer of broken things. So your story is not meaningless. It's not all despair, and it does not end in defeat. The story starts to bend towards joy. And that's the thing that we all look forward to. Is life a tragedy or a comedy? It's a divine comedy that starts up on top, it goes down, but it ends in joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that though we may face hardships in our life, we may face the uncertainties of our jobs, we may face the brokenness of our families, of heartache, of loss. And at times, Lord, it feels like our life is a big tragedy where it just keeps on going down and down and down and down. But Lord, we know that you are the director of history and time, that you are orchestrating all things. And you just encourage us to go our own way, to just go our own way, continue to stay faithful, continue to remain steadfast. Because Lord, you are orchestrating all things so that our lives curve upward toward this everlasting deliverance, resurrection, and everlasting joy. So help us to see, though it may be hard, that Lord, our lives are a divine comedy, that it will bend towards joy. It will bend towards everlasting hope, because that is the promise you have for us, and that is the promise you have for the people of old, and that's the promise you have for our church. So Lord, help us to press into you this season. No matter what we're going through, no matter the things that we experience, to know that there's going to be an upward tick and that, Lord, you are in sovereign control of all things, and we just have to remain steadfast and steadfast to your calling. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's respond in a song, A Living Hope.